It is First Bank Sports Friday this morning on the SBI Radio Network, Swift 98 and The Spur. Joining us over the phone now is Mr. Craig Bowler Jack, play-by-play voice for the TV broadcast of the Utah Jazz. Craig, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, Duke, I'm well. Thanks for the call. Hope your guys are great up north. And you know what? I got a lot of time on my hands right now, but hopefully that will change. I'm biting my nails, you know. I want to get to work.
I tell you what, this has been the craziest thing. But, yeah, you say hopefully that will change. And I'm actually kind of looking at some of the latest news coming out from the NBA, and they're actually, it seems like they're trying to make a splash in Orlando, Florida, Disney World. And kind of what are you hearing as far as the return of the NBA and how this all may work if it happens?
Well, Duke, I think what Adam Silver is doing, he's taking his time, which I think is the right thing. He's trying to protect the players, the fans, and I understand that. We're all getting a little, you know, itchy to see if we can get the NBA back along with Major League Baseball and, you know, and college football, the National Football League, all the above. So there's a lot of work to be done, but at least, you know, you gotta put your toe in the water, then the foot, then you jump in. And I think the first step is underway. It looks like a June 1st, announcement from Adam Silver, the commissioner, where we're gonna get a plan. And I think that's gonna be a good thing to kind of understand for all of us. What is the plan? What direction, will the NBA go? How will they facilitate, getting players back, and probably, you know, reacclimated to the practice? Will they actually play any type of regular season games, Duke? I'm not sure that's going to happen. The Jazz have 18 on their schedule. Some really are not that impactful. But in the West, there are several games. As you know, the Jazz probably would like to play, including the Clippers, the Lakers, and Denver. And maybe that would help them either climb the ladder from 4 to 2, or they could obviously drop from 4 to 5 to 6. I mean, that's kind of the way it could play out. But my opinion is I think they'll probably just jump and hit the playoffs. And that's going to be intriguing because, again, mentally, where are the players? How many of them really want to be there? And as you and I were talking earlier, I think, you know, you have to look at the families. Joe Ingles and Renee are expecting a new child. There's concern there. I understand it. They want to be around family and not be in a bubble, or, you know, sequestered by themselves for 2 months. So the Orlando model sounds like, Disney World could accommodate the large group that would be there. And if that's the case, they've got the facilities, to let these guys play, and, we'll see who is in shape, who's not, and who's mentally the tougher team, right? Because I think that's the biggest issue is how do you get yourself back into a playing condition after being off nearly 3 months? And then also how much mentally are you into playing right now during this virus? It's going to be an interesting scenario. And, you know, I think in the first round or two, you're probably going to see some people, some teams fall that you don't expect to.
You know, you talk about the reacclimation, and normally this is the time where they're at their peak of the season, and right. to just have it taken away, and not only just not be playing, but you know, the workouts and the team practices, and it's not a situation where it's just okay, you have two practices and now you're ready to go play. What kind of timeline would it take from when a team can first get together to when the league says okay, now you can get on a court and compete? How long do you think that will take?
Well, originally, they always felt like it would be a three-week process. And I talked to George Niang via Zoom about a week ago, and we talked to him about what kind of shape are you in right now? And, you know, he kind of chuckled a little bit and says, look, we've been limited. We couldn't really get outside our own garage or court. And, you know, I know the Jazz accommodated shipping in some hoop and some weights and some things for these guys to try to stay in shape. But as long as I've covered any sport, professional or amateur, everyone always tells you, look, game shape's totally different than just being in practice shape, Duke. You know that. And I think the bottom line is you can go in and say, hey, I feel good and I'm ready to go. But, you know, game shape's another level. And your point's well taken. The NBA was at its absolute peak in shape, mentally preparing for that final run when March 11th came. as they look for one final month, those final 18, 19 games to push to the to the playoffs. So, man, you got to restart. Not only do you restart again, getting back to the body, but you restart, I think, your whole mental process of preparation. But I think Adam Silver understands that. There's some players. I understand Luka Doncic actually went back home across the seas. They're going to have to find a way to get him back here and acclimate himself back to the States. Probably has to go through some sort of quarantine. I don't know. But there are players who probably did not heed the warning of staying close to home. Some wanted to go home. I get that. But I think it's going to be an interesting process on how they work this out. And hopefully we'll get more clarity in the next week to 10 days.
Craig Bowler, Jack, with us on First Bank Sports Friday, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. What a season for this to happen for Utah, because at the beginning of the year, there were championship aspirations for this team, and the first half of the season was a roller coaster, no question, up and down. So theoretically, the season comes back in just a playoff setting, and the teams go into their current seeds into the playoffs. How do you see things stacking up for the Jazz, especially where Bogdanovic just underwent that surgery, and so he's out regardless of what happens, if I'm understanding that correctly. So what are the Jazz's chances looking like? Do they still have a shot in a season like this at being champions, or has this really hurt that opportunity?
Well, Boyan's a 20-point-per-night guy and a 41% three-point shooter, Duke. So, yeah, I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it. It hurts and impacts the Jazz and, you know, their rotation. They're starting five. So Joe Ingles most likely jumps back in, and that means he plays a bigger role. George Niang, Jordan Clarkson all have to play a bigger role. And the bench, obviously, was really starting to kind of really – I thought gel with Joe and Jordan and George, in the final 20 games prior to the stoppage. So yeah, it's a challenge. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't help. But again, it's always the old cliche of next man up, and maybe some other teams may have the same issue as we get into this. My biggest concern, and it is every year when you start to play again, whether it's, you know, football, basketball, baseball, you know, a pitcher's arm is sore in the Grapefruit League, right? I mean, somebody starts to get tendonitis. Football, you get hamstrings. Same thing in the NBA. You got a quad, a hamstring, a sore Achilles, and you start to go, wow, have we pushed them too hard? Were they in shape in the first place? And I think that's going to be the biggest concern is the investment of all these athletes, Duke, man, it's a monster payroll throughout the league, throughout football, throughout baseball and hockey. And the bottom line is, how much do you push them? And they've got to know their body better than anybody, but they've been standing still pretty much for 3 months. Sure, they may say they go out and hit 100,000 shots a day, but it still doesn't replicate, the up and down, the stress that the legs, the ankles, the hamstrings, the quads all take. So I think you also fear that an unnecessary injury could come into play, not only for the Jazz, but for the entire NBA trying to restart this. So I think you'll probably see some general managers a little frightful, but also, you know, you're going to have to watch some players and just see how they react to this, because this has never happened where you stop in mid-season where you really are at the top of your game and then have to restart it. So I would be concerned, but at the same time, sooner or later, like we've been talking about, you have to go ahead and restart this, and you may have to, there'll be some collateral damage along the way. Injuries may come. And just like the Jazz, I think Boyan would have liked to have had this taken care of earlier, but they weren't doing elective surgeries, right, Duke, at the time, because the hospitals were so full with COVID-19 patients. And probably in his mind, in the Jazz mind, doing it now will at least guarantee a healthy Boyan Bogdanovic when the season, the next season, the 2021 season restarts or starts back up. Most likely, you know, at least reports indicate maybe December. So it gives him plenty of time to rehab and be healthy by the time they restart a new season.
Craig Bowler, Jack, with us. And Craig, you alluded to some of the other sports that you've been around: Major League Baseball, college football, the NFL, professional football. You spent a lot of time, of course, with NCAAs and in the NFL. So speaking of football in the fall, It seems like this week, especially, some of the big players in this outlook in college football, Ohio State, saying that they have a plan where they can fill up their stadium to half capacity, potentially, mm-hmm. to try and fill the seats in Ohio State. So, how do you envision the possibility of this rolling out, that come August, September, we have football, whether it's a full stadium or empty stadium, but to at least have some sort of football?
Well, Jim Harbaugh said yesterday, I believe, echoed that he'd rather play football without any fans, without playing football. So I think you understand the competitive nature of most of these coaches, and obviously the players. You know, they're on scholarship. They want to play. They have their eyes set on national championships, conference championships, and also, you know, they want to play in the National Football League one day, right? So you don't want to lose a year, and I don't think the NCAA would punish them for losing a year of eligibility under the circumstances. But still, the bottom line, Duke, is everybody wants to see football. I mean, people want football in the fall. And, you know, again, to what degree? And if there is a plan and someone can come up with that and understand with even the television networks, look, television drives the ship. You know that. The billions of dollars. I read today that if college football did not happen, it's a $4 billion loss. Think about that. That's how big our amateur athletics and our professionals, you know, the NFL is even more. But if you think about that, and a lack of funding that would go into to colleges and universities is devastating. So they will obviously want to put a product on the field. And if Ohio State has a plan, I'm anxious to see how they implement it, because it could help the NBA actually get fans back into the stands in some capacity. I don't expect a full house for over a year. I really don't. I think until we get to this point next season, we'll have a better understanding of the virus and potentially, you know, some sort of a vaccine, Duke. But hey, if you can go every third seat and every other row, and you also open your gates up earlier. This is just my take, but if you can open the gates up to the arenas and to the stadiums and actually do a quick test, a fever test on individuals who walk through, and they show patience and respect and calm and not make this some sort of a political issue, in my opinion, things should be able to flow pretty freely. And maybe they have a good idea. Maybe that's one of the ideas you have to do, as we talked about, putting your toe in the water. This is like really jumping in, right? If Ohio State wants to go this route, maybe other schools will follow. But someone's got to be a leader in this, and they're going to have to take some chances. So I'd like to see it happen. I hope everyone is safe and they can still show some sort of concern for those that need to be protected. But you know, again, the NBA is going to have to implement a plan sooner or later too, Duke. How the Jazz do it, I don't know. But I would think there's still going to be the need for distancing. And probably that means instead of 19,000, you may go 8,000 or 9,000 a night, and you spread everybody around. And maybe you make a phone call and you have to go pick up your own concessions. They don't come to you, you go to them. So there's all sorts of ideas that are floating out there. And I'm anxious to see really how it's implemented to get the show back on the road.
That's Craig Bowler, Jack, voice of the Utah Jazz, joining us this morning on First Bank Sports Friday. Craig, thank you so much for your time and insight. We wish you the best. Of course, this virus has had its impact, and professional sports broadcasters like yourself, if there's no sports to announce, then there's no sports to announce, right? So we hope the best for you and your colleagues and everybody moving forward, that hopefully we can get this resolved.
Yeah, Duke, I appreciate that. You know, this is good therapy for me, actually, to have a chance to chat with you for 15 minutes, because my days are pretty common, just updating myself on what's going on around the world and crossing my fingers that we're back at it. I miss it. The one thing that I've learned is that ever since March 11th in Oklahoma City, when we were put into quarantine with the Jazz, is just how much I love the game and how much I love what I do. And sometimes when you step back, you take for granted for what you do. You do your radio show and so many other great things. And I think you understand, you know, that we miss what we do, and we love interacting with fans. I know fans love their game as well. And I hope all of us understand that what's been taken away, I hope we appreciate that, but understand when it comes back that we embrace it even more and that we appreciate each game that's played. Maybe that's a lesson for the sports fan that we'll all learn throughout this process. But I appreciate the call, and we'll chat anytime.
Perfect. Well said. Thank you so much. Craig Bowler, Jack, this morning on First Bank Sports Friday.